Today on Wings, Rape and Resistance in Bangladesh.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
In November 2020, Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina signed an amendment to the Women and Children Repression Prevention Law, raising the maximum penalty for rape in Bangladesh from life in prison to death. The government was reacting to massive protests in the streets, triggered by apparent impunity for gang rapes that have been streamed online, and by steeply rising incidents of rape over the past several years. Sheikh Hasina is the daughter of Bangladesh's first president, and she's the longest-serving prime minister of the country. Between her and her rival Khaleda Zia, the widow of another former president, Bangladesh has been headed by women for 30 years. But life for women in the country needs serious improvement, according to the women you will hear in Wings today.
Hi guys, I'm Saima Chaudhary, speaking to Sadia Hussain, who is my guest today, regarding the inflation of rape cases in Bangladesh in 2020 and how we could improve the situation there by taking back things that we learn in Vancouver.
Saima Chaudhary and Sadia Hussain are both students at Simon Fraser University in Canada. Due to the pandemic, Sadia was attending school remotely from Bangladesh when the two conversed online in June for the campus radio program Intravenous. Robin Erickson, station program coordinator, also participated.
Sadia, would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Hello, I'm Sadia Hussain, and I have been studying in Canada for the past 2 years. I am from Bangladesh. As a woman, I have found out there is a big difference living in Bangladesh and in Canada, and it has made me more passionate about feminism, which is why I'm really excited to talk about this topic today. Mm-hmm. You have heard about the recent case about a schoolgirl who has been raped in like Dhaka, right, by her mm-hmm. boyfriend and his friends. Mm-hmm. So for context, she was 17-year-old. Her name was Orna. She was raped by her 21-year-old boyfriend in his home and three of his other friends. But because these men or these boys had political power backing them up, no sort of justice was coming. So people thought, especially these politicians thought, that just like in the past, this will blow over and everyone will forget about Orna and the struggle she went through. She died because of that, actually. But people, especially students like us, rose up against this injustice, and throughout the whole nation, protests were held. People were pressuring the police, the government, to change the law in order for them to become more vigilant about this issue. And even though a lot of the people in our country think that protest, social activism, awareness does not help, it did. At the end, it forced the government to arrest those people, and it forced them to change the law in our country, because so many people were displeased with the state that our law and justice system is so bad. Especially during the pandemic, there have been so many controversial and outrageous cases that it has sparked many protests along the whole country and finally forced the government to take actions, which is why the punishment for rape has changed from permanent prison to capital punishment, like death mm-hmm. sentence. I'm just afraid that the punishment would instill so much fear that many of the rapists might actually kill their victims and hide their bodies just in order for them to not get discovered. So I think the government could have handled it better, and the capital punishment might have just been a lazy decision from them, but it was something, and I am happy that so many people protested against it.
So what is the situation right now regarding this problem there?
The unfortunate thing is it has increasingly been more difficult for women to find themselves safe and secure in this country. It is reported that almost 27,000 rape cases were filed in the last 5 years. And the number, the figures for 2021 are even greater. Like, the situation is so bad here right now.
The cases were rising, and that's just the ones that were reported.
Yes, so that's the scary part. Like, these are the reported ones, and most of the women here, because of social norms, are afraid to even speak about it. So I don't know how big the number would be if all of them actually had the courage to report.
Yeah, that's very worrisome. And the situation is deteriorating. What do you think has contributed to the rapid rise in rape cases?
First of all, the justice system is very lax and carefree in this country. Many rapists have political power backing them up. And because of that, many, many horrible criminals just go free. And another thing is the social norms of our patriarchal society. Like, Bangladesh is a very conservative country where women aren't even allowed to go alone outside after evening. It has so many strict regulations on women, and men from a very young age have been seeing how women are treated, how submissive they are, and how they do not speak up for themselves. So they take it for granted that women have naturally less power than them, which is why they sometimes just do it not even for sexual pleasure, but just to feel more powerful. And third, I think there are so many drug addicts in this country. 80% of rapists in Bangladesh are drug users under the influence of one special drug called Yaba, which is also known as the crazy pill. People get more sexual aroused, and during that time they are uncontrollable, which is why a lot of them do not have any hesitation or fear before attacking a woman. So I think these are the three leading causes for rape in our country.
The drug Yaba is primarily methamphetamine mixed with caffeine, and often other substances too. In some countries of Asia, it has become the drug of choice, both to make and to sell. The pills come in many colors. Red is popular, and some are coated with candy. It's extremely addictive.
Robin, do you have anything to add to this?
In the garment industry, and in industries like that across the world, when you don't have a lot of rights at work and you don't have very many other options in terms of work, you're really at risk. And of course, Bangladesh has a huge garment industry. And 80% of garment workers who were surveyed in Bangladesh have either experienced or witnessed sexual violence or harassment at work. And this is a worldwide epidemic of all kinds of terrible, oppressive behavior.
Since it's a global problem, and as you've termed it, like almost like an epidemic, why isn't there drastic changes? Why don't we see repercussions of these perpetrators? Sadia, would you like to take on it?
Yes. Yeah. As I already mentioned before, a lot of the men in our society, especially in a very conservative, patriarchal society like Bangladesh, take it for granted that women are less powerful beings than themselves, and they have no hesitation attacking even a small girl. So the social norms that many of the especially lower class men get brought up in contributes a lot. And there's a lot of victim blaming that also goes on through our society. Whenever a rape case happens in Bangladesh, most people will blame the girl. Either she was out too late, or she was acting indecent, or she was wearing indecent clothes. No one really ever wants to take a look at the man who did that. So that's why a lot of women are so afraid to come forward. And also many of the rapists come from like parties, like from political parties where they have strong politicians backing them up. So whenever someone reports against them, police let them go immediately because like a higher power has intervened with the justice system. So the justice system is very corrupted and very lax, and they do not care about their citizens at all. Even though capital punishment has been introduced, it is not at all effective because the reported cases don't even get to the final stage. The rapists are just let go at the beginning stages.
We understand that politics has a great role in the punishment or the implementation of the punishment for these offenses. So you have grown up in Bangladesh and are studying in Canada, and now you're studying in Bangladesh due to the pandemic. So you have probably observed the way women are treated in each country. What do you think has created the social difference of treatment towards women?
Feminism is not talked about at all, I might say, in Bangladesh. The usual reaction whenever anyone wants to bring up the topic is to shut her down. No one wants to have a conversation about it. So people are not really aware that women are actual human beings and they have actual human rights. And there's just so much in the man's favor. They have been following a certain tradition, a very backwards tradition, but people are very stubborn to not let go of the tradition because that would mean that the men in power will lose their position. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, in Canada, people are more educated and they tend to have more conversation about women and women's rights. People observe International Women's Day. And due to all of these, people have become more aware of women's issues. Like SFU always has Sexual Awareness Day. They always try to give us sex education. None of that happens in Bangladesh. It's a taboo topic. Many of the rapists, they don't even think they have done anything wrong when they rape a woman because they think it is in their right to dominate that woman because that is the mentality that they have grown up in. Like from my personal experience, whenever I walk through the streets of Canada, even like at night, I feel very safe and secure. Walking here, even in broad daylight in Bangladesh, there is an 80% chance that someone will try to touch me. People will stare at me throughout the whole walk. And I have been like touched inappropriately many times while I was shopping or while I was hanging out with my friends. And the norm here is always to dress decently, whereas in Canada, I never even have to think about how I'm dressing. So there are big differences between both of these countries. I feel safe and secure in Canada compared to my own home country that I have lived in for the past 20 years.
Yeah, you can relate to that. Robin, would you like to?
The autonomy of women's bodies across the world is so compromised. As a rape survivor myself here in the West, I'm horrified by the notion that it's so rampant and that there's so little recourse. And that it's such a cultural mindset that we all have to some degree. Sadia, you were talking about how in Bangladesh, there's this idea that the men who perpetrate sexual violence aren't doing anything wrong, that they're in the right, you know? And then how that trickles down to impact our own sense of value for ourselves as women. I'm thinking about how the Me Too movement really got people talking about sexualized violence and, you know, I believe you and, you know, we believe her and, you know, all those hashtags, but that there's still this reticence to trust women's experience over the cultural norms.
On Wings, you are listening to excerpts from a campus radio program featuring Saima Chowdhury, Sadia Hossein, and Robin Erickson discussing rape and violence against women in Bangladesh. Mass demonstrations across the country in 2020 brought the issue to the fore. The High Court even raised a question about why Bangladesh has a ban on prosecutions for marital rape, except against very young victims. Saima Chowdhury.
The Bangladesh High Court does not have any law that holds the perpetrators accountable towards marital rape.
80% people think that marital rape is not even an issue. Like when a woman agrees to marry someone, she has given her lifelong consent to any sort of sexual intercourse.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's the social thing or the religious thing, but it's a woman's duty to basically please their husband after their marriage.
Her husband.
So something around those lines, which is also a problematic statement, because if the woman doesn't want to please with her body, she doesn't have to. That's what I think should be the ideal statement instead of the one that's socially acceptable, that's socially accepted.
Yes. So marital rape is considered legal in Bangladesh. The law in our country is if the wife is not under the age of 13, if you have forceful sexual intercourse with her, it is not considered rape. So Bangladesh is one of the 36 countries where you are legally allowed to rape a child. And because of this, many child brides have died here. And it is a horrible, horrible situation that no one really wants to talk about. If you want to talk about it with your parents, they will feel discomfort and they will move away. If you want to talk about it with your brother, your parents will scold you and tell you that it is not an appropriate topic to talk about. If you go to villages and try to teach them about it, they will say that she is his wife. It is his right to do whatever.
Personal matters. Yeah.
Yes. And it's just horrible. And sometimes you just can't help but feel despair. But after coming from Canada, since I have seen, I know Canada is not perfect, but it does give its girls and its women their basic right.
Something better than what is offered in Bangladesh.
Yes. And I wish at least the women and the girls over here receive that. Speaking from personal experience, I have seen from my own eyes, like a girl that I knew who used to work for one of my family members. She didn't have any birth certificate. We knew she was like 14 or 15, but she was married off at that age. And we couldn't do anything because she didn't have any legal papers and her mother forcefully took her away from us. And then she escaped 2 days after her marriage because of marital rape. But the police did not do anything because it's legal in our country.
That's heartbreaking. That's very sad. Yeah, there are so many cases like this.
It is so commonplace over here.
Yeah. It's so common in Bangladesh.
The thing that I think would help the most is if we change the way how boys are taught their principles from a very young age. Like boys in this country have little to no knowledge about women or their rights or even sexual education. Like in Canada, I think children already get to know about them from a very young age, especially if boys are taught that in schools and in colleges, then they might get to understand things from our perspective and would be more open-minded to have conversation about it. Because one thing that I have noticed that I can speak about feminism freely without any hesitation with most of my Canadian friends and a lot of my Bangladeshi friends as well.
Yeah, but, you're studying abroad probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
But with a lot of Bangladeshi boys, especially whenever I pick up the topic about feminism, they will always bring it down and they will always like make fun of it. They think that it is not a real cause and they think that women have it a lot better than them for some reason, even when they live in this country and they see in front of them that 13-year-old and 14-year-old girls are getting married off before their eyes, but they still would not take our issues seriously. And I think it is because of how girls and boys are treated. Like in the same household, parents will value their son's freedom and values way more than their daughters, which is why a boy might think that, okay, a girl really doesn't need that much in life and I don't think they deserve as much as us, which is why these things continue on happening and victim blaming continues on happening, because again, boys are the gem in our society. Why would we blame them? They bring the earnings. They are the ones who are benefiting the society. Girls don't do anything. So she's the one who seduced the boy and she's the one who made him do it.
So education is a necessity, which I hear. And then there are home values that the parents should be teaching. But there's finance that plays an important role as well. As you've mentioned, that the earning comes from the men, and so they should be valued more. So to bring the social change, can we say that it is a good thing to encourage women to go to work more, just to have a voice of their own and some power of their own, to
yes,
a bit more power financially so that they have a voice? Do you think that can be a solution, like at least a starting step to solving this huge social problem that we have?
Yes, absolutely. And I think Robin already mentioned that there are a lot of women in Bangladesh who work in the garment industry here. And usually these women are the sole earners for their family. But as in the norm, whenever it is their payday, you can see that their husbands or their brothers or their fathers will line up before the gate. So they will just take the salary away from these women and use it for their, you know, own benefit. So not only finance, like career-wise, but we also need to make sure that these women have the ability to protect their salaries, their wages from their family members or their male relatives or anyone else in their life. Mm-hmm. Because of this, my father actually used to work for a garments factory, like in the management position, and they came up with like an app which was designed to protect these women's finances from their husbands, and only they would be the one able to use them. And of course, if women develop through careers, they will become more financially independent and there will be less pressure from families to marry off their girls at an early age. The main reason why girls get married off at such an early age is because most of the society in Bangladesh thinks that a girl is not capable of earning for herself. So just for her security, the family will marry her off as soon as possible. If we can show them that, yes, a girl can earn not only for herself, but for her family, families might not be that eager to marry them off to horrible older men. And education will play a huge role in that. Enhancing girls' education, especially in rural villages, will help them gain more knowledge and help them get jobs, and in the future, hopefully help them gain financial stability, which is very much needed for the girls here in Bangladesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So just to think differently, like, what do you think Canadians should do to promote these values they have that make this their social structure better, at least favorable to, a little more favorable towards women? What could they do to promote these values globally, just not to Bangladesh, but like globally?
I think social media would play a huge role for them to instill these values to people all over here in Bangladesh as well. People in Bangladesh, most people here use Facebook a lot. So maybe spreading awareness about this situation and spreading awareness about sex, the importance of sex education, the importance of knowing about a woman, her body, and her rights through the use of social media and conversations through social media would help them reach like the global scale, like not only Canada itself, but people in Asia, people in Africa, people in South America, all of these poor, unfortunate countries where women suffer every day. We could help them by actually actively engaging in conversation with people all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And donating to charities would help also. Like, for example, there's BRAC in Bangladesh. It's one of the biggest NGOs. And they work a lot in order to help impoverished women in Bangladesh. So maybe if Canadians became more aware of the local NGOs all over the world, they might be able to, you know, actually have a conversation with the activists over there and help transport their beliefs from Canada to all of these other countries.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think social media is a key player in spreading these awareness and spreading these knowledges. And the second issue about supporting NGOs is very crucial as well, especially like local NGOs who support young mothers or rape victims in the developing countries.
If people from one country could influence a government so much, imagine how much the collaboration from people all over the world can help influence these girls' lives.
You've been listening to excerpts from the radio program Intravenous, which airs on campus community radio CJSF-FM at Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, BC, Canada. The show was hosted by Saima Chowdhury. Her guest speaking from Bangladesh was Sadia Hossein. The station's program coordinator, who also spoke, is Robin Erickson. Wings thanks our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, host of a series of Zoom salons you can view at maternalgifteconomymovement.org. That's maternalgifteconomymovement.org. To hear Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org or visit our website wingsradio.org/WordPress. We also host a news feed at facebook.com/wingsradio. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.